want to tell you a story first. I almost was convinced this afternoon to preach a message on everlasting consolation. You find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, and you also can read a little bit about that in Luke chapter 2, verse 28, I believe, with Simeon. Yeah. And I'll tell you how that came to pass. My wife's been sick for about a week. So after the services, I called her up, and I said, hey, we had great services. I said, we had great teaching for Sunday school. We had great singing. And then we had a great message for our worship service. And I said, it was just great. And my wife goes, well, do you know what you're going to preach tonight? You know how pastors kind of, wives kind of, and people kind of kid you back and forth a little bit that you get your outlines for your wife, from your wife? I go, and I did know what I was going to preach, but I said, no. I said, no, not really. She said, I outlined this great message for you.
I love it.
She got it from Jeff Fugit this morning in his morning service. And she talked to Debbie Black, and Debbie was telling her about you could stream online and listen to his message. And I believe that. And I said, I can't do that. What if what if Debbie tells John or Rod about the message? And here I start to preach. They're going to know exactly where I get that message from. So I can't do that. And she never thought about that. But I did hear a song. It's called, before the preaching, it's called Heaven's Child. I don't know if you heard that song. But it did make me change the title of my message this evening. I want to read you a little story first. An atheist was walking through the woods. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. He turned to look. He saw a 7-foot grizzly, a bear, charging towards him. He ran as fast as he could up the path. He looked over his shoulder and saw the bear was closing in on him. He looked over his shoulder again and heard the bear was even closer. He tripped and fell on the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but saw that the bear was right on top of him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising his right paw to strike him. At that instant, the atheist cried, "Oh my God!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. As a bright light shone upon the man, a voice came out of the sky. "You deny my existence for all these years, teach others I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident? Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and said, "It would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out, the sound of the forest resumed, and the bear dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed his head, and spoke, "Lord, bless this food which I'm about to receive from my bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen." Amen. Yeah. You know, I'd kind of like to put you in the mood for Christmas. Listen, I don't believe you can preach too many Christmas messages. I don't believe you can preach too many times out of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 and all and on through the Bible. I believe actually the whole Bible is about the birth of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart, but I don't believe you can preach too much out of that. So, of course, out of Sunday school, Dave preaches something that I wanted to tell you about Simeon. And then, of course, the preacher had his outline, and it just crossed paths with something that I wanted to preach to you as well. But that's all right. We're going to go forward with that, because I'd like to kind of analyze a little bit as far as the birth of Christ goes. But to put you in the mood a little bit, I want to read another story. It was the day after Christmas at a church in San Francisco. The pastor of the church was looking over the nativity when he noticed that the baby Jesus was missing from among the figures. He hurried outside and saw a little boy with a red wagon, and in the wagon was the figure of the little infant Jesus. So he walked up to the boy and said, "Well, where did you get your passenger, my fine friend?" The little boy replied, "I got him at church." "And why did you take him?" The boy explained, "Well, about before Christmas, I prayed to the little Lord Jesus, and I told him if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride." Go ahead with me and turn to Luke chapter 2. We've pretty much covered some of these, but you know what? I'm glad that we can preach Christmas here. Yes. You know, I online this week, I read an article about a middle school in Long Island, New York, that had what was called, quote, a holiday program. In this program, they sang like we did, not exactly like we did, Silent Night. And every reference about that holy infant and Jesus Christ was omitted. Why sing Holy Night? Why take it out? All the devil is trying to do is to make us, as far as Christians, more angry and more determined to make sure that God's Word gets preached and taught, and that the lesson, as far as the Christmas lesson, is told. The story is told. Why keep Silent Night out? We already know what's going on with the man from Duck Dynasty and sin and homosexuality. Yeah. You know, it's a shame when the majority are ruled by the minority. Right. When it's a shame for the majority to speak up and have its principles, to have its doctrines. Right. But the devil is just deceitful in what he's doing. And what a shame. So I am so glad that we are able to present the Christmas story. We're able to talk about Jesus Christ. I want to read in verse 25, Luke chapter 2. I want to begin there. And of course, this is the story about Simeon. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to the word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation." Can you imagine just for a minute with me having an opportunity to hold that baby in your hands, that Christ child? Can you imagine? I know that we carry him in our heart, but can you imagine the privilege a few had just to be able to hold him in your arms? A prophecy, prophecies. This man clung, Simeon clung to prophecies for hundreds of years. He knew about Jesus Christ. That's why he parked himself in the temple. He knew what was going to happen. Just like you and I know that Jesus Christ is going to return again. Yeah. And we need to hold on. Yeah. We need to come to our temples. We need to worship God. We need to preach and teach. We need to believe with all our heart. Because you too might be one of those, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that have taken part in holding that child. Do you know that that baby, that was heaven's child? Heaven's child was Jesus Christ when he came down. Heaven's child. Can you imagine the glory and the splendor of this man being exactly where he wanted to be at the exact time that Jesus Christ came in with Mother and Joseph? Can you imagine that? I say to you, hold on. Hold on. Hold on, young person. Hold on and continue to believe this book, the stories about Jesus Christ and His birth. I believe His birth is just as important as death, burial, and resurrection. Because without the birth, there would have been none of those. I believe Jesus Christ was heaven's child. Can you imagine the participation in heaven, just getting Him ready to leave, to come down to this earth, to become that babe in the manger for you and I? Heavens, can you imagine what preparation? Listen, He sent angels, God did, to make the announcement. He sent the angels. Gabriel came to Mary herself and told her in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. That's where the story begins, basically, when the messenger would come and bring the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. It was now time for prophecy to be fulfilled. 6 months after Gabriel's announcement to Zechariah about the birth of his son John the Baptist, God again uses Gabriel for another assignment. Someone sent from heaven to proclaim the announcement that Jesus Christ, don't tell me that Jesus Christ wasn't heaven's child. That all caretaking steps were made to prepare the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. He didn't come as a king. He wasn't wrapped, born in a palace, wrapped in robes. Do you know that in a manger was where He was born? Oh, a wide open place. There was no privacy. Anyone could walk in and see a birth of our Christ, our King. Anyone could have walked in. Do you know that it was probably water from that trough that they watered the cows with, that He probably was washed down with? Do you know, instead of anointing Him with oil, that they rubbed Him with salt? Do you know, instead of putting a royal blanket on Him, they put Him in splotches, swaddling clothes? But I'm telling you this, all preparation was made. Everyone from heaven was watching. Everything was in order. This is exactly the way that it was going to take place. This was exactly the way that it had to take place. Don't tell me that Mary wasn't chosen particularly to become the mother of Jesus Christ. He was heaven's child. It would take not a sinless woman, but a virgin, one that believed and trusted in God and believed in the prophecy itself. It took her all that preparation, painstaking preparation God had decided, and it was Mary. This Gabriel, he was sent to Nazareth. We already know what Nathanael thought about Nazareth. Not a good thing would come from Nazareth, but there was Mary. And there Gabriel went to tell Mary what was going to take place. Long had this event been predicted, and now a woman had been chosen to be the mother of this most wonderful child. Although engaged to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David, this Mary had been preferred and favored above all other. She was to be honored, but not worshipped. We've heard that three times already today. To be honored, but not to be worshipped. She was a great woman, but like we've heard already this morning, not like the Catholic Church has done it. She is to be honored, but not worshipped. She was quite amazed at his selection and his announcement. Can you imagine? An angel. Can you imagine? 400 years. And not a spoken word. Not a spoken word. And all of a sudden, an angel comes with a message to this woman. You have been selected to be the mother of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what would go? But I'm not sinless. I'm not sinless. God knew that. but she was to be the mother of that of heaven's child. Although engaged to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David, she was preferred and favored. What extraordinary and perplexing thoughts must have occupied her mind. Gabriel was sent not only to make this great announcement, but he was also there to clear any of her apprehensions. And she should have had, and she probably had many. Just alone, she says, I'm espoused, I'm engaged to a man. And an engagement's not like an engagement today. You were really considered, other than the formality of the marriage, you were already considered being married to this man. And I'm sure she had many questions about that. And I don't know if she did have the thought process of as what are people going to think, or if that came later. But we know that somewhere along the line, that would probably cross her mind as far as what was going to have to take place. Gabriel was sent. He said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Found favor. Don't we all yearn for those words? You have found favor with God. Don't we all yearn for that? Don't we all try to learn, live our lives as Christians so that someday we might hear those words, "You have found favor"? I know we're blessed. I know the Lord loves us. But wouldn't it be exciting to hear the Lord Himself say those words to us? "Mary, you shall conceive in your womb a male child, and his name shall be Jesus," which means Jehovah is salvation. "He shall be the Son of the Most High. He shall be great in power and wisdom both on earth and in heaven. He shall rule forever the children of Israel." This youthful village woman modestly inquires, "By what means will this promise be fulfilled?" For Mary was a virgin. She knew no man. Gabriel would explain to her that Jesus would be created by the direct power of God. Direct power of God. Oh, what mighty power. The Holy Spirit Himself would be the grand operator in this miraculous event. And so it was that Mary of Nazareth had been chosen by God to be the mother of heaven's child. A miraculous conception would occur. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came before, she was found with child, together, came together, I'm sorry. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and his name, and he called his name Jesus. You know what? Mary and Joseph didn't even have the authority to name this child. That name came from heaven. Heaven's child. The Holy Spirit came and overshadowed Mary, causing this miraculous conception to occur without the help of a human father. Mary was now found with this precious babe in her womb, when this birth was revealed to Joseph, it was a difficult time for him. Being a righteous man, he could not complete his marriage to Mary because it would put a strain on his family's name. You read anything and know anything about the Jewish customs, you would know what is and what is not allowed as far as these marriages go, even during the espousal time, even during the engagement time. He had two options. He could either write out a bill of divorcement or he could have her stoned. He loved her. He wasn't turned that way. But because in a dream an angel sent from heaven again, seeing God's hand upon this child, because it was heaven's child, instructed Joseph, gave him confidence enough to make him willing to be that father of Jesus Christ. I mean, stepfather of Jesus Christ. Being a righteous man, he could not complete his marriage. But it was also not in his nature to expose Mary's seemingly unfaithfulness to the public. For if it became known that Mary was carrying a child out of wedlock while engaged to Joseph, the law would require her death by stoning. Again, being a man of mercy, Joseph had decided that he would not follow the letter of the law, but instead write a bill of divorcement without any specific reasons for his divorce. The suffering of Mary and Joseph during this time must have been unbearable. Here are two people that love one another. Here are two people that really are true to one another. But yet, what is the perception? What would the world think? What would the people say? Listen, if anyone's ever been bullied, anyone's ever been teased, anyone's ever been criticized, you know a little bit as far as what they went through during this time. It had to be. One was being forced to doubt the other's love, while the other was compelled to rest under the unjust suspicion of a loved one. Can you imagine what was going through their minds? From heaven, an angel was again dispatched to earth to give Joseph assurance that the one he loved had not sinned, but instead had been favored by the Lord. Can you imagine? You and I, we know a little bit about what's going to take place when the rapture occurs. We look forward to that. We can't wait until that happens. Can you imagine a man and a woman? Can you imagine a woman being favored by God and visited by angels? Can you imagine a man being visited by an angel and saying, the prophecy is now taking place. It's about to be fulfilled. Can you understand the excitement? You can barely contain. You would be able to contain yourself. What a great responsibility. What a pleasure it would be to be associated in the fulfillment of this prophecy. I can't imagine. We get excited when God answers a prayer, and well, we should. But can you imagine this taking place? The Bible, the prophecy, the Isaiahs, and the Micahs, and the prophecy being fulfilled all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. It's occurring right now, and you're a player in that prophecy. Aren't we all players in the return of Jesus Christ as far as that prophecy goes? We may not be raptured home, but aren't we all going that know Christ is our Lord and Savior? Yeah. Isn't that what He came for? Isn't that when Simeon said, I've seen my salvation? Hasn't there been a time when you've accepted Christ and seen your salvation? Yeah. Prophecy is still being fulfilled. We're still being visited by the Holy Spirit. He's still coming and telling us things. He's still visiting us. We would think that it's a great thing if an angel would come down. But we have a Holy Spirit inside of us that wants to guide and direct each and every one of us. All we have to do is listen and obey. That doesn't bring joy and peace to your heart. I might consider you almost dead. But here's a Mary, and here's a Joseph from the line of David, chosen to be part of heaven's child. The Lord very graciously removed all suspicion from Joseph's mind, providing honor for the mother and comfort for the holy child. Joseph, satisfied in God's word without delay or reservations, makes Mary his wife. He became the legal, recognized father of Jesus, rescuing him from the reproach of being called an illegitimate child. With all this settled, the Christmas story was put into motion. And that's where we have the story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And I know that we read it, and I hope you've read it during your own personal time this season. But I believe that Christmas is just not one day a year. I don't believe it starts with the day after on Black Friday and ends the day after we celebrate. I believe it's a 365 or 366, a day, a year attitude that you and I should have. It says in verse 1, Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto them. Was there any doubt there? Nah, there's no doubt there. They're ready to pack up and go. Because they believed as well. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which were told them concerning this child. Did they keep it quiet? No, they became evangelists. And I'm convinced with all my heart, the only thing to break this chain that this world and our society believes is the minority's right, is for the majority to continue to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand up, to be recognized, and not let our world and our society and that minority to get away with what they're trying to do in our world today. We need to cling. This is not a silent story. This is a story that needs to be told throughout the land. We need to proclaim it. We don't need to hide. We don't need to be shy from it. We need to pronounce it loud and clear. There was a babe sent from heaven. He was heaven's child. He came to save man. And listen, mister, you need it. As in the past, the Jewish people were again servants to a foreign authority. This time they were suffering at the hands of Caesar Augustus and the Roman Empire. Divine guidance, protection, and blessings should have been theirs, but God's chosen people continued to turn away from God obeying their own sinful desires. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Sound familiar? The very same thing is happening. The Jewish nation was in desperate need of someone that would rescue them from the bondage and sin. But these people did not look to God for heavenly direction. They were looking for a soldier, an earthly warrior who would lead them to victory on a battlefield, delivering them from their enemies. But it would come to pass, according to God's plan, that a great prophecy would be fulfilled. You know, Herod didn't have a choice. Caesar Augustus didn't have a choice. They were not reigning and ruling when it came to the heavenly child. That heavenly child was going to be born. He was going to come exactly as God has planned.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to happen to this earth. Exactly according to God's plan. Yeah. It's going to be fulfilled. And we need to cling to that. There were people that were doubting back then. You and I, if we know anything about the Word of God, we should not doubt one bit the return of our Lord and Savior. We should not doubt one bit that we are going to be with Him in the multitudes that return with them. He may have come as a babe in swaddling clothes, but He's going to come as a warrior one of these days. He is going to come as that warrior, and we're going to be with Him. We need to cling to that. The Romans had no power when it came to this birth, this heavenly child. It was exactly this King Caesar. He thought he was doing something. He thought he was grabbing money, more money, tax the people, more, more, more. But that wasn't his authority that allowed that to happen. God wanted Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. It was God's divine plan. I don't care what these worlds, I don't care what the United Nations thinks they're going to do. If God doesn't want it done, it won't be done. He's in control. But it would come to pass, according to God's plan, that a great prophecy would be fulfilled. Before the beginning of time and throughout the Old Testament, this prophecy had been planned and predicted. God's only Son would volunteer to leave His Father's side and the glory of heaven to become a man and a Savior for the whole human race. It would come as a babe born of a virgin in a most miraculous way. So at God's appointed time, the Roman Emperor would be used to begin His Son's journey on this earth, and it would last some 33 plus years. Caesar Augustus was an arrogant ruler who only had riches on his mind when he came up with a new law that would affect Mary and Joseph. This law was to be imposed on subjects in the empire, and it would demand that all the people under his authority enroll their names so that they could be taxed by the Roman government. Brilliant was this plan, at least. That is what Caesar Augustus thought. But he did not realize that it was God's plan to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Although Mary and Joseph lived far away, they had to obey this new law. Both were descendants of King David, and their original citizenship had been established in Bethlehem. We can understand why Mary would not be so anxious to leave her home in Nazareth. She was pregnant with Jesus, and the journey to Bethlehem would take 4 days. Can you imagine? 4 days. 4 days. 73 miles, thereabouts, 73 miles, 4 days. Couldn't you imagine? Ladies, can you imagine? Wouldn't you have much rather had your child at home than to take that journey? I'm sure that thought was on her mind, but she did. She would also be quite satisfied in delivering this baby in the comforts of her own home. There were sentimental thoughts that occupied her mind. After all this was in her house in Nazareth. It was in her house in Nazareth that Gabriel appeared to her to tell her the wonderful miracle that was now she was going to be involved in. Despite all her feelings, we must remember that it was God's plan for Mary to have her child born. Even Mary, this was heaven's child. This was God's divine plan. God was going to fulfill it. Do you know that during that journey, Satan couldn't touch him? Satan couldn't touch him. Because they were destined. They were under God's protection. There may have been a holy garrison of angels that went every day, every mile with them. But Jesus was going to be born according to Scripture in Bethlehem. And you tell me that God can't keep you? You tell me that God can't give you peace? You tell me that God cannot give you joy? Yes, He can. You tell me God cannot give protection? You tell me that God cannot still work miracles today? Yes, He can. He can do all things. But there she went. The child, this package, was about to enter the world, and failure was not a possibility. A place was needed for these two tired travelers. Many had come to register for the taxes, and the city was full with visitors. Joseph tried to find a room for rest, but his attempt would fail. Once upon a time, I did a message on several years ago about that man, that innkeeper. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what could be proclaimed if he would have had room and Jesus Christ was born in that inn? But it was not to be so. It was not. There was not going to be any room. If anyone could have found the room for the Christ child to be born, it could have been God. But it was not his desire. That babe was to be born in a manger. This stable was no private house where one could have peace and quiet. It was an area wide open and free for all to see. This babe would not be placed in a royal bed, as I've said before, but instead he would lie in a manger, a hole in the wall, a place where cattle fed. This babe would not be anointed with oil, dressed in royal garments. No, he would be washed with water, rubbed with salt, and wrapped in blankets or bands called swaddling clothes. While wicked men ruled and occupied worldly thrones, this King of Kings would openly lie in a manger with no authority. At some distance away, an angel was sent to make the announcement of Jesus' birth. This announcement would not be given to the high priest or elders, but instead it would be pronounced to the poor, hardworking shepherds as they were attending to their sheep by night. You know, you keep your money. I'd much rather have someone that has a tender heart than all the money in the world, because you can reach somebody with a tender heart. But a man or woman with money is hard to reach. Listen, he could have gone to the high priest. He could have gone to the scribes. He could have gone to any member of the Sanhedrin to make this announcement. But it was not God's desire. He went to the shepherds working in the fields to make this, because he knew that they knew. He knew that they would believe. When man trusts his worldly possessions, it's hard for them to be saved. Give me a heart that's willing to listen. Give me a person that's willing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just maybe through the power of the Holy Spirit, that person might be saved. That's our job. The saving is God's, but ours is pronounced. These shepherds, they went. A great ruckus was made in the skies above, pronouncing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to these shepherds. These shepherds says, let's go and see. And they left what they were doing. They were attending to the flock. And they went. And there, they saw exactly what was told them. And exactly what we know about heaven and all its splendor is going to be there. And even more, even things I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for you and I. We can only imagine so many things. There's so many other things that are being prepared for you and I. A great shining light was observed while this heavenly angel declared to them that a Savior was born to them in a little town of Bethlehem. What good news was proclaimed in the ears of these shepherds? Oh yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is being revealed to the world. The way to pardon the sin, the way to the pardon of sin and peace with God was about to be open to all mankind. The heavens would come alive with a multitude of angels singing praises and glory. God, for this great day had finally came. I believe they were pent up frustration even amongst the angels. They couldn't wait until that child was born. And I can only imagine the ruckus that's going on in heaven right now as preparations are being made for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Amen. I believe with all my heart, although He has long-suffering, I believe Jesus Christ can't wait to hear the orders to go. To go. I bet the angels can't wait for the orders to go. To go. To go. Bring my people back. What a day. The things that go on with these shepherds, the glorying and the praising that are going on with them is nothing compared what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. I've watched a lot of sci-fi movies when I was young. But man can't imagine. They cannot put into a movie or into words what will take place one of these days when our Christ, our babe, when our Savior comes again to take us home, to reign and to rule. Why do I like Christmas so much? Because it makes me think about these things. It makes me think about these things. I like to think about these quite often. But this is a perfect time to think about heaven's child. Finally, the Magi would visit. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11. And because the hour's getting late, I won't read that. Well, yes, I will. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star." You understand that these are Gentiles? And they say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." Wonder where he got his information from. Yeah. Wonder. And I wonder if he got this information from so-called religious people. Why weren't they in Bethlehem? Why weren't they in Bethlehem? And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And now Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called to the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Sometime after the birth of Jesus, there was a visit by three wise men from the east. During this period, Herod was made king of the Jews by the Roman Empire. This was not a benefit to the Jewish people because Herod had a natural hatred for Jews. He feared anyone who seemed to threaten his throne, and this included his own wife and son, who he had killed later on. The birth of Jesus was made known to the Jews by the angel. Now God was about to reveal his son to the Gentiles using a bright, shining star. God had chosen three wise men from the east to be the first Gentiles to pay their respects to the Savior. They came not doubting the fact of this miraculous birth, but instead they needed guidance and direction to the place where this birth took place. While some in Jerusalem were waiting in great anticipation for the coming Messiah, Herod feared losing his kingdom. He placed spies throughout Jerusalem trying to find out the location of this kingly child. Herod even demanded from his own council, consisting of high priests and scribes, the place where Christ would be born. This was the very same court that would later condemn Jesus to death, calling him an impostor. With these wise men privately summoned, Herod pretended to care for this birth, but murder was really in his heart. He did not wish to honor this child, but instead, like Judas, he wanted to betray him and destroy him. He commanded the wise men to search the land for this child and then bring him word once he was found. They departed immediately. He said, "I want to worship him." That was a lie. Treacherous, treacherous lie. Can't you see, and I'm sure everyone in here can, and I don't understand why the world can't. Can't you see the lies that our world is bestowing upon Christmas today and the things that they're taking away from the meaning as far as the true meaning of Christ and Christmas? Can't you see what the devil is doing? And he's having great results. My goodness, some of these stores, they're going 86, 106, 906 hours straight trying to sell this, that, and the other thing. Listen, I don't know about you, but the greatest present I've ever received is not the one that was given to me, but the one I gave to someone else. And we have a present that was given to us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a world that's dying that will not partake of this heavenly babe and all that he did. But don't you be deceived. Don't you fall into the trap. Stand firm. Make a difference as far as the true meaning of Christmas. Their journey was being guided by the star to a house where baby Jesus stayed. The three rejoiced and fell down worshiping this king of the Jews. They presented him gifts of frankincense and myrrh and of gold. These offerings, fit for the king, would help Mary and Joseph provide for their royal child. After their visit, the wise men would go their way, not letting Herod know where this baby Jesus was tucked away. These were Gentiles. Even in the birth of Christ, the Gentiles were mentioned, you and I. I know Jesus Christ was primarily for the Jews. He was trying to awaken them. He was trying to get them to understand. But see, just like today, they didn't want any of it. And in our world today, most of the world, what do we have? 6.5 billion people on this earth today? And I'm afraid to say that most of those people are on their way to hell if they don't wake up and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and see heaven's child and what it meant. To you, this story was told so that you can know the significance. And again, I know that most everyone, but may I say this? Even in Christian and Baptist churches, I'm amazed sometimes of what little we as Christians know as far as the Bible goes. I don't want to assume anything. And that's why I knew that three or four times of people preaching that these messages would be preached one way or another, a little here, a little there. But I wanted you to know, I researched a lot of this. I didn't do it this week. I researched a lot of background as far as this story goes, because I believe people need to hear. People need to know what took place. Listen, again, I tell you that Caesar Augustus had nothing to do with the taxes. Sure, he thought he came up with that idea, but who do you think planted it? And that tells me that God is in control. Herod he thought he was. And we know later on in this story it doesn't end because children under 2 years old were killed by Herod trying to destroy the Savior. But that wasn't going to take place because God again made sure that Mary and Joseph went to Egypt for a time. And you don't think that he can take care of us? You don't think that he's not looking upon you? I understand this was heaven's child. But can I ask you something? Aren't you sons and daughters of God as well, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can't he watch over you and take care of you as well? Again, I told you this story so that you can know the significance of this wonderful event. Jesus came as a gift to the world full of sin, a shining hope for all who could not see. Given to us in Bethlehem that day was a precious babe who would grow up and voluntarily cancel out all the darkness of sin for those who would just believe. What a wonderful gift God has given us. And I believe with all my heart that we need to proclaim it and proclaim it. Don't let the world shut us up. Proclaim it. I'm not a real big fan of John McCain, Senator of Arizona.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I did like when I read his book is that he did, when he was in Hotel Hilton, he did, when he was a young person, memorize scripture. And he was able to recite that scripture time and time again in that cell. Don't let them shut us up. Don't let the minority tell us what to do. Heaven sent us a child so that he could come, live, proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, to take away our sins. We need to tell others. We need to tell our children. Not just at Christmas time, at all times. Listen, what a great story. Heaven's child. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for what you have done. Father, everything has been perfectly planned out. And although I don't understand and I don't know why we have to wait, I know you do. And it's much better for me to put that wonder in your hands. I know your son is coming again. I know that one day those that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior will take up residence in heaven, will reign and rule with our Lord Jesus Christ. That heavenly babe that was born over 2,000 years ago in the city of Bethlehem. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen our faith. Strengthen these folks. Help us be a people that proclaim. Help us to be like those shepherds that went out and evangelized, telling people about that babe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not walk back. Let us not be ashamed of the story. Let us not let the possibility of persecution stop us from proclaiming your word loud and clear. And Father, thank you. Thank you so much the world can't take away the true meaning of Christmas, at least not in my heart, and others here that believe with all their hearts that to us was given that day in Bethlehem, a heavenly child. Father, I pray if there'd be one in our midst that has never received Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray before they leave here that they would accept that true gift, that precious gift, that babe, that Christ, our Savior. Father, I pray that they would ask Jesus into their heart. Father, I just pray that you be with this invitation. I pray that your will would be done, that you would be honored, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.